This is Logan Sekulow. How do you feel when the FBI director says they can't be sure that Americans' rights aren't being violated?
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow.
Director Ray, is Facebook or any other social media company supplying private messages or data on American users that is not compelled by the government or the FBI?
Not compelled. In other words, not in response to legal process.
No warrant, no subpoena. They're just supplying you information on their users.
I don't believe so.
We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110.
But I can't sit here and be sure of that as I sit here.
And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
Welcome to Sekulow. We're going to take your calls 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard on the air. As you heard in the open there, that was our good friend Chris Ray, FBI director, making everything, you know, make sure you feel reassured when Rand Paul asked the question, are any of your private messages, are any of your data from American users being shared to the government without a warrant or a subpoena? The real strong answer from our FBI director, I don't believe so, but I can't sit here and be sure of that as I sit here. Let's take a listen. You actually get to hear the full clip, not just my dramatic reading. Byte 49.
Director Ray, is Facebook or any other social media company supplying private messages or data on American users that is not compelled by the government or the FBI?
Not compelled. In other words, not in response to legal process.
No warrant, no subpoena. They're just supplying you information on their users.
I don't believe so, but I can't sit here and be sure of that as I sit here.
Does that give you a lot of confidence in your FBI director? Will, you're sitting here with me. What was this even on? Why did this event happen?
So periodically, members of the Homeland Security in the executive branch, so whether it be the FBI or the Department of Homeland Security, are going before Congress, is a part of Congress's oversight role. So this was a hearing before the Senate Homeland Security hearing where Senator Rand Paul was asking that question, but it was in response to a report that came out earlier this month from the House Judiciary Committee. So that committee is going to actually have a lot more power going forward with Jim Jordan being the head of that. But that report said that there was a whistleblower that suggested there was a special relationship between Facebook and the FBI in which the FBI accepts private user information without any consent or legal process. So this wasn't a gotcha question. This wasn't a Chris Ray had no idea what he was talking about. This is part of the reason he would be going before the Senate Committee on Homeland Security.
He knew it was coming.
He should have known it was coming and been able to answer a little bit better than, I don't think so, but can't be sure. Who's to say?
What do you think about that? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. I'm going to ask you, hundreds and thousands of you are tuning in on different social media platforms, and a ton of you on radio. But if you're on one of those digital social media platforms, I'm going to ask you to do something. If you're on Facebook, click that share button, like, comment. If you're on YouTube, put the thumbs up, comment. Make sure to share it as well. But like and comment, those big thumbs up, that really helps make sure people get this message. If you're on Rumble, we love our friends at Rumble. There's either a thumbs up or there's a plus sign. Do that and comment as well. We're going to take your comments from social media as well as your phone calls. But I really love to hear your voice. So give me a call at 1-800-684-3110. We're also going to talk about the alleged meltdown that happened at Twitter yesterday, where reportedly 75% of the staff did not respond well to an email from Elon Musk saying, hey, you're going to have to start working hard if you want to work here. And allegedly, 75% of the staff may have walked out, leaving a lot of vulnerabilities potentially. Of course, Elon's response, they had more Twitter activity than ever before. As you saw last night, every blue checkmark celebrity going on to talk about it. Where? On Twitter, of course. Give us a call. We're going to talk about that, among the many other things. And of course, Nancy Pelosi gives her sort of farewell speech. I mean, not going away totally, but we'll no longer see her in leadership. Love to hear your thoughts on all of it. 1-800-684-3110. Also, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Middle of a matching challenge. We could really use your support. If you have the means, do it now, and all funds are matched. Welcome back to Seculo. A lot of you are joining in just now to kind of recap a little bit. This is what happened. So there was one of these meetings, you hear it all the time. This is Chris Wray, and he was FBI Director Chris Wray, if you don't know. And he was being grilled by Rand Paul. Rand Paul essentially came out and said, hey, can you, you know, let us know that people on Facebook and other social media platforms, they're not supplying private data and information, you know, DMs and PMs to the FBI without a warrant or a subpoena. His response was essentially, I don't believe so, but I can't for sure tell you that's happening. Well, I'm sure a lot of people felt real good about that. And this has been going on for a few months. And you do wonder some of the stories that lead into this. And one that we went back and looked at, because it did get brought up, is the last time they tried to do something like this, it got cut short. They were in the middle of a conversation. It's like, I got to get out of here. I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but I believe there was Chris Wray made it seem like there was a lot of work to be done, and he had to leave.
Yeah, so these hearings are by Congress. They're the law. They're statutorily compelled that the heads of these executive branch divisions, such as the FBI, or even if it's the IRS or Treasury, all of the executive branch function has oversight by Congress because Congress funds those. And so they need all the information they can get from these people to make sure that their budgets are what it should be, or if they need to have some controls on those executive branch functions in some way. Now, in this hearing, this was a few months back, the FBI director went through the first round of questioning and then was supposed to have a second round of questioning that would have been shorter. So 3-minute questioning by the senators. But Christopher Wray apparently had to go. And Josh Hawley went and read press reports and found out later something that was a little bit unnerving to him. And we have a part of this. It was a long back and forth because he was a little unnerved. But let's play Byte 26 to hear what Christopher Wray had to say.
So you were going on vacation?
I was, yes.
So you left a statutorily required oversight hearing in order to go on a personal vacation to the Adirondacks?
I took a flight to go visit my family, as had been previously arranged in conjunction with the leadership of the committee.
The ranking member, Chuck Grassley, asked you during the hearing, he said, I assume you must have other business. You said, yes. He then said, if you have a business trip, you've got your own plane, can't it wait a while? He then said, Chuck Grassley, we only just heard half an hour ago that now you have to leave. We were going to have a 7-minute round followed by a 3-minute round. I've got 7 people on my side of the aisle, that included me, who are waiting for this additional round. Is there any reason we can't accommodate them for 21 minutes? And you said, you had a plane to catch. You had somewhere to go. And now we find out it was for vacation?
The reference to other business was not a reference to that day. It was a reference to the following week where Senator Grassley and I were going to see each other in Iowa.
So even there, his story starts to shift of like, it was a different week. Josh Hawley actually went back and pushed on that. He's like, well, then why did that have to do with anything with the hearing? There's something not right about the timeline here that Christopher Wray is giving to Senator Hawley. But for one thing is certain, he did not want to have to sit for another 21 minutes, as he should have.
Just 21
to
minutes.
To be grilled by the Republicans.
I have to sit here longer than 20 minutes and talk to all of you. He could not sit there for 21 minutes because of his personal vacation on a private plane to go to the Adirondacks while claiming it was for business. I do think that is it says everything that needs to be said in terms of where we are currently with Chris Wray and the FBI in general. I don't want to be one of those people that's on here just slamming the FBI and saying there's nothing we can be done. But we do have to tell you about this, expose this when it comes up, because it all kind of ties back into sort of the privacy and the security situations on social media. And this is happening right now over on Twitter. Twitter, as you know, I don't need to recap it, purchased by Elon Musk, kind of under duress, kind of had to purchase it after, Twitter wasn't on the up and up, wasn't telling them all the information, didn't matter, had to do it. And now, as of last night, people were calling for it being the end of Twitter, as a large portion of the staff, potentially the majority of the staff, had walked out and quit all at the same time. And what that does is, they apparently leave a lot of open doors for security. And I think that was the main concern. There was even reports last night that and I think it was confirmed, that they could not even get into their own headquarters, their own building. They had been locked out of their own buildings. So they had to actually bring back people that had been laid off just to access the building. So that happened. So people got a little concerned with that. And then people had a lot of fun with it. Even Elon jumped in and had a lot of fun with that whole situation. But it does make you concerned when there are when there is so much data that you would consider, you know, we'll put private in quotes. I mean, if you're doing it through a social media platform, it's probably not the most private to begin with. We know they're taking a lot of that data, analyzing it, and creating, you know, advertising campaigns and everything around a lot of the stuff that you get through that emails. If you're using a free service, it's not free. It's not free for no reason.
There's a big difference, though, if we're seeing what is essentially a pipeline of Facebook, if it's using its algorithms and tools, picking up on things that are called private messages or direct messages, and then they're funneling that to the government.
No,
with,
for sure.
Without
we saw the portal.
Warrant.
We saw the portal they created.
Exactly. Well, we talked about that where they the government could go into the portal and ask for content to be taken down. Earlier this week, we talked about the testimony from Christopher Wray to senators and members of the House earlier that, you know, they had this they purchased that Israeli software that was a spyware, and they were saying, oh, it's just for research, just for R&D, so we can see how the bad guys may use it. But then through FOIA requests and other things, it comes out that actually they were planning on and trying to get it deployed to use against citizens of the United States. Mm-hmm. So it makes you wonder who the bad guys they were talking about there are. But the problem is that the leadership at the FBI, and as we say on this show all the time, not the rank and file, not the agents, no, but the leadership is toxic. And one thing that is consistent about Christopher Wray when he goes to testify before Congress is that his testimony is inconsistent.
Yeah, it changes. It never is the same, which is not what you want out of your FBI. Let's go ahead and take a call. Let's call Mike in Virginia on line one. Hey, if you want to be on the air also, we have some lines open, 1-800-684-3110. But Mike, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I have a thought. How come a bunch of Republican attorney generals don't sue Facebook and YouTube for violating the rights of the individuals in their states, their privacy rights, and that way they can add the FBI and the Department of Justice as potential defendants to keep them out of playing with the discovery shenanigans?
Well, we know that some Republican attorneys general are doing that. The attorney general of Missouri, Eric Schmidt, and I believe Louisiana as well. Yes, Jeff Landry of Louisiana. They are going after the social media companies as well as the Department of Justice. They've filings already. We're starting to see things come out because of compelled filings that are going after, but they are going after what they're calling collusion between the government and Facebook. Has a lot to do with the misinformation, the censoring of speech. But Mike, to your point, there are many Republican attorneys general at the state level that are taking that action. It's also important to bring back up, and I know we're going to talk about it later in the broadcast, but the House of Representatives will now be led by Republicans. And so the oversight duty, the Josh Hawleys and the Rand Pauls of the Senate have a little bit of their hands tied because they are in the minority party. If the Republicans had won the Senate, there would have been a lot more power there. But they can make these statements, but the leaders of these committees are the ones that end up having the majority of the power to continue investigations.
Get information out. So that would be a good thing. One thing we are going to talk about in the next segment, and I'm going to tease it here, because I really want to hear from you about this, is we know the House obviously has flipped. We now have a Republican House. And they announced yesterday that they were going to vow to investigate Joe Biden and his family's business dealings. And they had some pretty hardcore reasons for wanting to do this. My question for you, in a time of economic crisis, in a time of all crises, not to say these things aren't justified, when there are things like the origins of COVID that I think need to be investigated, need to be out there telling the truth, is this where you want your first, you know, conservative House? Is this what you want them to be doing first? I'm really asking that question. I want to know, do you think there are more important things on the state level or on the country level that need to be handled before we then get to what could essentially look like a political moment? They obviously did it to President Trump. There's no doubt they do it. But the question is, do two wrongs make a right? I'm not so sure. I think these things should get to them Absolutely. Should it be first? I'm not fully convinced, but I want to know from you, the American people. This is what you want first? You want the first thing to be Hunter Biden? Is they're going to kick that off in January? They're saying they're going to subpoena Hunter Biden in January. They're saying they're going to do all this. That's fine. Look, I'm not saying it's not just worthy and it's not legitimate, you know, questions to be asking. The question is, do you want that to be the thing that they lead with? Or does it feel like we are just saying, well, you did this to us, so now we're going to do it to you? When does that end in this country? When do we get back to actually governing? When do we get back to actually making difference in the world, making difference in our own country? Not just political gamesmanship. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, or comment on Facebook, on Rumble. Support the work of the ACLJ, aclj.org, also on YouTube. Make sure you like, share, do all those good things. I want to hear from you, though, your thoughts on this. And it's okay if you disagree with me. I want to hear from you. Be right back. Welcome back to Secula. We're going to kick off this segment talking about essentially the new House. And what's cool about that is obviously you have some conservatives in control now. You're going to have a lot of new committees being formed. And one of the first ones to be formed and announced that was going to happen is an investigation into the Biden family as well as Hunter Biden. And they said specifically into Joe Biden. Let's start off with a bite. Here's bite 19. This is Representative James Comer of Kentucky to announce it.
This is an investigation of Joe Biden, the president of the United States, and why he lied to the American people about his knowledge and participation in his family's international business schemes. National security interests require the committee conduct investigation, and we will pursue all avenues that have long been ignored.
Yeah, again, I don't think that that's necessarily anything wrong with that. I think that those things should be explored, and obviously they did it to President Trump. But I do get concerned that there are many different avenues to go, and for this to be the first thing we hear from a new House just feels like though I know we're never going to be united, I know that that's living in some la-la land that doesn't exist. I do think that being the first thing you show as this new House, as this new leadership, is to further go into issues in terms of the president's personal life, essentially. I think we need to get there. I just don't know if this is where it starts. It feels like there's been a lot worse things. There's a lot worse things going on in the country that it shouldn't necessarily be the lead, in my opinion. But I know I don't speak necessarily for the majority of conservatives and the majority of the country.
So this is going to be from the House Oversight Committee. So James Comer will be the chairman of that committee when the new Congress begins in January. So a part of this committee's job is to provide oversight and do investigations of government work. So
Sure. It's
not in the wrong place. That would be the right place for this type of investigation to go. But having the press conference and saying this is our lead item, I tend to agree with you to some degree that Is this the right time? It's a couple days after the midterm.
Yeah.
They lead out there with, here's what our first thing is. When we know that there is government corruption across the board, if it were even tailored to, like, was the FBI colluding with social media networks or was the FBI going after parents at school boards where they have this authority, things that actually affect the individual American people.
What's going
on
at the border? What's going on with COVID origins? Those are the kind of things that I think are important. We need to get to, and not that this isn't important. I just don't have it as my number one when it feels like the country is crumbling.
And I think that they will get to those, and those will be a part. And some will be different committees, right? So the a committee on health and human services may be the one that launches the origins of COVID. But the oversight committee can provide oversight to the way the government bureaucracies reacted to that.
Yeah.
I also have a little bit of a problem when the lead investigation isn't necessarily something that's going to help every American. But when there are things that need oversight, where conservatives have been targeted by the government, that could be investigated as a number one oversight. And I think some of that is, was there bias against, or was the mechanisms of government used against conservatives? To me, is almost a larger issue that affects every one of us. We know this, and we're a little bit biased, probably because of us living through the scandal with the IRS, having clients at the ACLJ, and getting vindication and justice for those clients. But it took years. It also took the help of the Congress to hold those hearings, to hold the IRS accountable. You're not going to get the full scope of justice without having a full court press and having the conservative Congress on your side to get to the bottom of some of these things.
Yeah, let's go take a call. Let's go to Linda, who's calling on line 3 in Massachusetts. Linda, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, how are you?
I agree that they need to do this, but it doesn't have to be top priority. We have other things like the border and the inflation and our oil and gas. Those should be priorities because that's what's hurting the everyday people. As far as Hunter and Biden, if they get Hunter and they don't get Biden, then Biden's going to let Hunter out. So I wouldn't make that priority.
Linda, I really couldn't agree with you more. I think that is exactly where the American people really should be. I don't speak for everyone on this show. I'm going to make sure that's clear. I don't speak for my brother. I don't speak for my dad. I'm speaking for myself. And me, personally, I say there are a lot of important issues that are going on right now. I see what's happening with the fentanyl crisis. I see what's happening to conservatives, the way they're being targeted. We see the data's being specifically given to the FBI and all. When you see all of these things that are happening, I do have to start, making a list of what's the most important. This one doesn't crack the top 5 yet. Get there eventually. And I also would like to come out strong. And not come out like a bunch of, whiny babies going, well, you did this to us, now we're going to do it to you. I don't love that, but I do understand it's part of the political game. I'm not naive to that either.
I do think also that we should listen to Representative Comer because he was asked basically what we're saying by Brett Baer. So to give some fairness to him and let him explain this in his words, why this is the top priority of his committee that he'll be chairing. This is Byte 33, Brett Baer asking Representative Comer, soon to be Chairman Comer, why they're going to focus on this.
Republicans talked about focusing on the economy and inflation. Why roll this out today as the first kind of foot forward?
Well, we had the commitment to America. It had 4 different tenets. One tenet was holding this administration accountable. The Oversight Committee's 8% of the Republican conference. So we're focused on identifying waste, fraud, and abuse in the federal government. The other 92% of the conference, they're focused on other issues that I think are of the utmost importance to American people. Reducing inflation, trying to secure the border, trying to get an energy policy that makes sense. But I think the American people care about whether or not their leaders are compromised, whether or not they have been involved in shady business deals that have enriched themselves and their family members. So that's what our investigation is going to be about. We can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Okay, I mean, that's a good point. I'm not saying that he doesn't make a good point in that and say that, sure, there are plenty of things that can be done. That doesn't change the visual.
The optics of it were,
the optics are, this is the first thing you did.
They rolled it out. They had a long press conference. And this, it felt like that was the entirety of the party's agenda.
You wouldn't have to be asking that question or having that question asked you by Brett Baer, not exactly the most like hardball person asking you questions, saying, do you really think this should be the first thing you jump out to? That's not how this, it didn't optically said to play that way. I know these are smart people who can do many things at once and can handle many committees. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have this committee. What I'm saying is there are other things that I wish they had led with because there are things that are important as millions of people have died from really things the government could have had a bit more of a handle on, whether that was COVID or on the other hand, the fentanyl crisis and what's happening at the border. These are issues that are uniting, hopefully. Hopefully these are issues that can get beyond politics. I hate that they have been politicized, that somehow a drug crisis that's killing millions of people is somehow politicized. So I have to look at the exact number. You can pull it up. I saw Katie Britt, new senator out of Alabama. She posted that they had one stop. It was like one drug stop from just like a day ago. Like so they pulled over one car and it was enough to kill how many?
A driver was caught with 3 kilos of fentanyl and told investigators he was paid $10,000 to drive it. She said a single suitcase of fentanyl taken off the streets by the tremendous work of Alabama law enforcement officers could have killed 30% of the state's population.
30% of the state of Alabama.
One suitcase.
One traffic stop. One good cop who did his job or did her job and got this person and this amount of drugs off the streets. And imagine what's going through your neighborhood. That's my concern. Hey, we're coming back for a second half hour of the show. If you don't get us on your local network, find us broadcasting live, ACLJ.org, Facebook, YouTube, Rumble. We're always available there, but we're live right now. We'll be right back.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. We've got a whole nother half hour coming up for you. And we got a full bank of phone calls right now. We will take some of those coming up probably in the next segment. So if you're on hold right now, just wait. Because we kind of have to reset here because some networks are just picking up the broadcast here on the second half hour. I want to make sure you know what we're talking about. We led with this show talking about Chris Wray, FBI director, saying he can't be sure that our data is not being intentionally given without a subpoena or without any kind of warrant to the FBI from social media platforms like Facebook. So if you have a private messages, that he can't be 100% sure. He doesn't think so, but can't be 100% sure. Maybe he's too busy on vacation. Can't be sure that that's not happening. So that's what we led with. We then moved a little bit into what's going on at Twitter, because we've seen Twitter has had a reportedly 75% of its staff leave, leaving some security vulnerabilities. Kind of plays into the same thing. At the same time, you have the House taken by the Republicans. Nancy Pelosi out of there as Speaker. And the first thing we lead with as conservatives is an investigation into Hunter Biden, into the Biden family. Obviously, I have a more controversial take than a lot of people want, and that's okay. And that to me is this maybe, though I know that they can do a lot of things at once, shouldn't have been the first thing we led with. When you have the fentanyl crisis at the border, not even just at the border, all over the country. I mean, people say the border, but I mean, that's where it's coming in. I mean, how many did they say yesterday? We saw the infrared footage looked like a predator.
Right. At Eagle Pass, they were saying that there is a 16,000-person encounter happening right there. And that's just in the past 24 hours. 16,000 migrants encountered. They are on pace, I believe it was 64,000 in the month at Eagle Pass. Just one place. Yeah, just one sector of the border.
And they're saying the border is secure. And I said this yesterday on the Secular Brothers podcast. What that means is so bizarre. We haven't been able to really even come up with a definition of secure. And until they can show us that data, it's certainly not secure.
Well, and this, to prove your point, the fiscal year ends in October. So we had the full year looking back from October to October. The numbers just came out. And it was a record year. There were over 2 million. There were 2,766,582 border encounters. That's just in that year. There was nearly 600,000 gotaways that they knew about. So those are people that evaded and got away. They encountered 98 individuals attempting to illegally cross the border who are on the U.S. terror watch list. CBP seized a record nearly 15,000 pounds of fentanyl last year alone, enough to kill every man, woman, and child in the United States 10 times over. 856 migrants died after being abandoned by smugglers.
Yeah, I mean, let's just 10 times over, all of us gone. One traffic stop in Alabama yesterday, enough fentanyl to kill 30% of the state. One traffic stop. And we're seeing this. It's affecting everyone. It's affecting people's families. It's affecting our family. Everyone. Everyone has dealt with a friend or a family member that this has become an issue with. And it's probably the most important thing that we need to be looking into and figuring out how to stop. And we got to get the politics out of it. However, that's not what the case is. And that's not where we are. Hey, we got a lot of calls coming in. A lot of you agree with me. A lot of you don't. You know, I see some of the comments coming in saying I'm not going to take all of the calls that agree with me. I know a lot of people also disagree. By the way, again, I'm going to reiterate this. I didn't say that we shouldn't be investigating it. I think we absolutely should be investigating what happened with Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and everything that's happening in that whole family. I'm not saying that we should not be doing that. What I want to say is, as a conservative person, the first thing, this is not what I would have led with publicly. You start working on it. But why was the first thing this? And I know why, because it's politics. And I know why, because they did it to us, now we're going to do it to them. But that goes back and forth and back and forth, and it's exhausting. When we should be looking for the nuggets that we can agree on. We're never moving the world's not moving to the middle. We know that's not happening. We're in a more divided country than ever. We barely got the House and we barely lost the Senate. That's just the facts. We're in a very divided time. But are there things like one traffic stop killing 30% of a state, or the border having enough to kill all of us 10 times over? Is that not enough to rally everyone together and go, okay, here's one thing we can agree on? We'll be back. We'll take a lot of phone calls. We'll see how it goes. Welcome back to Seculo. Hey, we got a lot of calls coming in. We're just going to go take them. And look, I'm going to take all the calls we can because I know you guys got a lot of thoughts on my feelings. So let's let's start. That's my new memoir, Thoughts on My Feelings.
Thoughts on My Feelings.
Your thoughts on my feelings. Let's go. We'll go in order as they come in. Look, I know this one's more about the Christopher Ray situation, but we should still discuss that. It all ties in. Stan's calling in New York online, too. I know you've been on hold for a while. Thank you, Stan.
Hi. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey.
You know, gentlemen, Christopher Ray was appointed by Donnie Dummy Trump, as you know. And I didn't pick him. The Democrats didn't pick him. But actually, he's been doing somewhat of a decent job. Not bad at all, to be honest with you. And, you know, about the vacation thing, you wanted to leave 20 minutes before. I think he should have left 5 days before or pleaded the fifth. Since he didn't, I mean, he's basically been talking to them, giving them information.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. They want blood from a stone. They don't like what he's
done. So, Stan, I'm just going to ask you, what do you, give me like a top three. What are your favorite things he's done?
Well, I think basically he's the Trump investigation with the FBI down in Florida, I think, has been pretty good and so forth.
Shocking. Shocking that that's the top one. Great. Hey, Stan, we gave you time. I think I love that you called. I'll give you all love for calling and talking to us. I appreciate it. You know what? You got to have other perspectives on the air, Stan, so I appreciate it. Also, you know, I love people calling in from New York. It's always fun. So you know what? God bless him. Let him call in. It was fine with me.
Well, and I mean, he liked what appears to be a politically motivated investigation.
Hey, but he likes a Trump pick.
So, Chris Ray. I wonder if in his other top, I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but I wonder if maybe he likes how many prosecutions of pro-life protesters have been going on under the FBI, things of that nature.
All the classics.
The problem is that, yes, he's right. Christopher Ray is a replacement for James Comey, but Christopher Ray, even under the Trump administration, received criticism for the job he was doing because the FBI was supposed to get better under Christopher Ray, not worse. And what we're seeing is a continuation of the political bias, the politically motivated investigations, the viewpoint discrimination by the FBI against conservatives almost exclusively. And so if you're a liberal and you want a weaponization of your government, then Christopher Ray is probably doing a pretty good job, but not on my
calling.
Book.
Let's move on, though. Lots of calls coming in. Gerald's calling in the great state of North Carolina. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. And I just want to say you guys are doing a wonderful job. I have a question and a comment. The first question is, with over 2 million people coming across, I think it's almost 3 million, coming across the borders, I haven't heard anybody talking about how we're going to go about going after these people and deporting them back to the countries where they belong.
Yeah. We were go ahead. It's fine. Keep going.
And a comment I have is that the Supreme Court of Texas downed the student loan program that Biden put in there prior to the midterm elections, and Biden just kept going on saying it was approved.
We'll hit both points. Let's start with the first one, which is, what are you going to do? I mean, the numbers that you were throwing out there, 2 million, I mean, we know there's...
Just in the last fiscal year, it's 2.7 million. So where he said almost 3,
we know that it's 11 plus that were already here,
probably.
You know, we know that. And that does open a really big discussion of what you do. Because there are a lot of people here. Obviously, I'm talking about the fentanyl crisis. A lot of people here for nefarious reasons. What do you do with those people? And how do you even track it? What do we do? That is that big question of what is securing the border? What does that even mean? When it comes to deporting 11 million people... It's virtually impossible. I mean, I'll just be honest. Like, that's not going to happen. So whether you agree with that or not, it's simply not that easy.
Well, let's just take the last fiscal year alone.
Yeah.
And think of 2.7 million encounters. So that's people that got picked up or turned themselves in and claimed asylum. But that's 2.7 million people that are now in the system with the CBP and the Department of Homeland Security. So you're talking about some of those probably get turned away immediately, maybe not. Some have deportation hearings. Some have asylum hearings. Then it goes to the court system. You're talking about almost 3 million new court cases that judges... They have to be able to be given representation. All of that strain that is put on our already taxed system. But we also know there was a huge backlog of cases well before the pandemic.
This is not.
Then went through the pandemic. That just with the people, I'd say, in the last 3 years that have been encountered because of the pandemic, compounded with the backlog of cases they already have, I don't know that it's possible in these judges' lifetimes to get through the backlog of cases that are now happening.
Maybe you start with the crisis, the actual crisis that's happening every day, which is that idea of securing our border to make sure that people aren't just coming through massively illegally. Some people are coming through for horrible, nefarious reasons. Some people are coming through because they're looking to take a easy way into a better life. I think we should judge those people separately. Those are two different kind of situations. Whether you agree with it or not, I know you don't. I don't agree with people coming here illegally. But the truth is, there are millions of people in our community that are here illegally, and why not get them into our system as taxpayers and be part of it? It's not that easy. I will tell you that. None of this is going to be easy. I wish I had some magic ball to tell you exactly how we're going to secure the border and how we're going to even create what would be a pathway to some kind of citizenship or the idea of deporting 11 million people. It's just, like you said, it's just impossible. That idea is impossible because there's not enough time in our lifetime to get that handled. So there has to be some kind of resolution. We're going to keep going, though. I don't want to spend too much time on it. Oh, you guys.
I just have one more point to that as well. When the system is strained on the people that are potentially seeking asylum, people that may have actual claims where they could receive asylum or get into this country in a different way, that would be fine. When you have that much of an influx and that much of a strain on the infrastructure of the United States, both the infrastructure taking care of individuals as well as the judicial system that goes along with that, that puts a huge strain on the resources to be able to go after the fentanyl. Don't think that the cartels aren't exploiting a big caravan of people to be able to distract and get through the real nefarious things. And they're very sophisticated when they get across the border and how to get things into this country. So sometimes, unfortunately, these migrants are being used by cartels to distract so they can continue their business empire. Right. And what's the business empire? Killing Americans through drug overdoses.
Yeah, and when you have still an influx of people coming in every day, it's impossible to stop the problem that already exists. Those two things can't continue to happen. So if we can figure out one, which I think honestly, being honest, I think securing the border is probably easier than figuring out exactly what to do with the people that are already here. But if we could stop that, if you can put an end to people crossing the border illegally, or at least it's never going to happen at 100%, but bring it down as much as possible, then you can at least start to have those conversations. We can start a conversation about what to do with people that are already here. They are human beings. We're going to treat people as human beings, by the way. And that's how it should work in America. We're not treating people differently. You treat people that are criminals, absolutely. And I mean criminals like are here to destroy the country, are here to kill people, are here in the drug traffic, sex trafficking. Sure, if you are looking at people who are seeking asylum, we're going to treat them as human beings. That's what we should do. Let's take one call before we head into the next segment. We're probably going to take some more calls before we wrap up. Karen in Montana, line 5. Carrie, I'm sorry.
Hi. I think I agree with both sides of you guys. I believe that we need to focus on President Biden is the commander-in-chief. He's the one that's been exploiting every area of the American people, military, schools, inflation, the border, which is a nightmare. Biden has been exploiting. Biden has been the criminal you were talking about. Biden he is a criminal. He's worse. He's like, he did all of these things intentionally against us, the American people. I mean, we feel like we're already Chinese under a communistic regime. So if we go after Biden we can start at myriad places.
Sure.
He's a criminal himself.
Carrie, I don't necessarily disagree with all of that. And I think the difference is you're right. But the main thing you see is Hunter Biden. That's the main thing I feel like I say, Hunter Biden to be subpoenaed. It's not necessarily about the Joe Biden situation. They say it is an investigation on Joe Biden, and I agree.
And that's what happening. A lot of the chat and the callers are bringing up is that the connections, and that is what
the connections to all of these things are the Biden administration.
Right.
Absolutely. I want to make sure that I know that, and that's crystal clear. I'm saying there are things that are legitimate that are it, a lot of this is all of it's legitimate, but we could focus on first. That's all I'm saying. All right, hey, we are going to come back in. We have like 45 seconds left right here. So I'm going to tell you to do. We're in the middle of our matching challenge. I know I've rattled a lot of y'all up, but I'm going to give you a little promo pitch here to begin with. Either way, ACLJ.org, visit it. Not only visit there to make donations, which I'd appreciate. You know, it's hard on a lot of people right now, so we know. If you can, though, we appreciate it. And all donations right now are effectively double. There's other donors out there ready to match whatever donation you can make. So we appreciate that. Do that at ACLJ.org. Appreciate it. Do that today. ACLJ.org. But also go there for just a myriad of amazing free content. Great blogs, great videos. Take it out. Check a look. ACLJ.org. Welcome back to Secular. We're going to continue taking phone calls because we got a lot of them for this final segment of the week heading into Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving week, we'll still be live for many days next week. Obviously not on Thanksgiving, but other days next week. So make sure you still tune in. Let's just keep going in order. Let's go to James. In Texas, you're on line four. You're on the air.
Thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call. I agree with you, Logan. I think we need to continue to clean house, take out the trash. But let's do what these American people have voted you in office to do. This tit-for-tat stuff needs to stop.
Well, James, I'm thrilled that you said that. I hope that message gets across to people. I am not just taking calls based on my opinion. People are, I'm taking every call that came in that got screened through. Sure, some get screened. A lot of times people say profanity, stuff like that. They don't make it to me. But if you called in, we're polite. You've heard calls that disagree with me, calls that agree with me. And look, I got lots of people who are listening around the country right now and around the world. And I appreciate all of you who tuned in and all of you that commented, including, hey, I got friends at the Brass Bear in Birmingham, Alabama, listening right now in a local antique mall. And give them a shout out. So, you know, shout out to all of them who are listening there in the store. Hopefully, if you're shopping right now, maybe they'll give you a good deal because I said that. I don't know. Can't guarantee that, but I'm going to throw that out there. Let's go ahead and take some more calls. Let's go to Tony in Florida. Hey, if you want to call, a couple more minutes to get on the air. 1-800-684-3110. We're going to talk a little Pelosi, too, leaving. And is the replacement going to be all that much better? But, Tony, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I agree and disagree, I think, kind of both at the same time. I agree that we have very important things in our country. However, I kind of feel like that this investigation is a segue in what's to come. Once they really are able to establish what a criminal he is, then I believe they're going to come back with the impeachment, and then that's whenever the fentanyl, the border, the economy, the UK funding, the FTX hiding the money, the Afghanistan blunder, the oil reserves, the food supply depletion through various means, the military vaccination mandates, and then also what's being done to our children in their schools.
Tony,
and
you
in
just
another.
Gave me the whole list that I wish they would focus on. So I appreciate that. I wish that is where the American people could start. That's where this conversation could start. All of those very legitimate reasons, all of these very serious talking points. What I'm afraid is that people are just going to see the headline of Hunter Biden and it gets washed away all of the other real atrocities that are happening.
Because we know the media has done that before. When the Hunter Biden laptop was a story, what happened? Twitter, under previous management, suppressed the story. They locked the New York Post out of their Twitter account. Like, we should not forget that that's what happened. The media is going to stand up for the Biden administration on this entire investigation and make it look silly. But to her point as well, she said, you know, once those ties are exposed, then comes the impeachment. Impeachment's a political process. And right now there are 50 U.S. senators that are Democrats. There are only 49 that are Republicans in the next Congress because we still don't know the outcome of Georgia. Yep. So regardless, the Democrats control the Senate. An impeachment is not happening. An impeachment will not happen. Now, an articles of impeachment may be introduced in the House. Those get introduced almost every Congress because someone wants to impeach somebody. But that doesn't mean it will even be taken up. It does not mean it will be moved and definitely will not be walked over to the U.S. Senate. And that's part of the reality. So if you can also show all the damage they're doing to every sector of the American populace in everyone's life. Tony just mentioned everyone. There's plenty there to go after.
Yeah, very good list.
There is one thing I do want to point out, because I'm seeing it in the chat, is that a lot of people do point out that sometimes it seems like President Biden is soft on China, and we see China emboldened through this. And a lot of that is what some people think could come out of an investigation, is that because of the business ties of his son to China, and if President Biden falsely said that he had never discussed the business and actually is really well intertwined, being the big guy, as some of those emails that have been famously talked about with China. Could that also be a point that's shown, exposed, of why the Biden administration has a weak foreign policy against our biggest geopolitical foe?
Absolutely. And I don't disagree with that at all. And again, I can maybe reiterate that 100 times. It doesn't matter. I don't disagree with that feeling at all. I think that those things should all be investigated. To me, it's the way it was presented, the way it's going to play out, and how it's going to play out is our version, the conservative version of the January 6th committee. A bunch of conservatives yelling about something, Democrats fighting back for their person, and nothing actually getting done. I'm afraid of that. When there are things that could be done, that's right. Go investigate what's going on in China. Why does it have to look the way we're presenting it? I just don't like that. I don't like the visual. Let's move on, take some calls. We've got a couple minutes left. Let's go to, I don't know who's in next. Let's go to Lewis in Colorado. You're on the air.
Yeah, and listen, thanks for taking my call, but how much can the House of Representatives do when the Senate and Biden will just trash their laws and veto it? And I mean, how much can they do? So let's go on with the investigation, because Biden is a security threat to our nation.
Well, and you're right. Yeah. That as far as legislation, other than budgets, debt ceiling, things like that, that don't necessarily end up playing out well for the United States sometimes. Right. It's not like the conservatives are going to be able to propose some big tax cut
that
the U.S. people
it's
want.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
We live in a too divided of a country.
And we think they should be doing their oversight role in investigations.
Yes.
A lot of this is about the optics of the way it was rolled out, is that this is an investigation of Joe Biden, because it does feel like it's the personal politics. What we warned about when they impeached President Trump
was like, impeach every president.
It's going to just be an endless cycle. Instead of let's investigate these things. It goes back to, in my mind, like the Fast and Furious scandal under President Obama, where they were running guns across the border to cartels. Those are the type of things that we need to uncover if they're going on. Like, we need to uncover all of the bad things that are happening so it's brought to light.
I want to quickly take Nancy in Arizona. Jerry in Arizona, I appreciate you calling, but I'm not able to get to you today. But I agree with your point. Let's go to Nancy in Arizona.
Hi, thank you. My point is that basically we can investigate corruption later. First, we need to open the pipelines and become energy independent, or people are going to freeze this winter. Second, we have to secure our border. We live in Arizona. Stop the drug crisis, the human trafficking, the crisis that we have to the crime is causing citizens, the financial burden to the states that have to provide housing, medical, education, food, et cetera. It needs to happen. And we can't lose sight of what the people, what the citizens need.
Thank you, Nancy, for calling in. It sounded like I wrote that for you to say, and so some people claim that.
Yes.
I appreciate you calling in from Arizona and saying that, because I think we had another call from Arizona, said the same thing. Their number one was what's going on at the border, what's going on with the fentanyl crisis. It was their number one concern. And sure, this can all get back to it, but let's maybe start there. We got a minute left. This is what I'm going to say. I know this show was more controversial. Maybe I riled you up more than you should have headed into your Thanksgiving week, but you know what? I appreciate all of you who listened. Appreciate all of you that watched, and appreciate all of you who go visit our website over at aclj.org. Look, as I said, I'm talking from my point of view. I'm sure I have my dad and my brother back next week, and they'll have other points of view. But you got me today, and Will, and I appreciate all of you who listened to my ramblings, my ravings, and I enjoyed all the comments, the good and the bad. I encourage you to go to aclj.org, because we are in the middle of a matching challenge. What does that mean? That means for every donation being made, and look, none of this could happen. You don't get to see the hundreds of people that work for the organization. You don't get to see the amazing top-level crew that we have doing this daily broadcast, as well as everything else that happens. without your financial support, again, we know it's a hard time, and if you can't support, we understand, but if you can right now, all donations are matched by another donor. So if you give $10, it's like giving $20, and so on and so on. You can do that at aclj.org. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.